Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbin. Hope you're doing well today. And I'm so glad that you're joining us on our Monday broadcast. Hope you had a great weekend. And I know that many of us are just coming out of the tropical storm and getting things cleaned up from that. But I hope that everything went well with you. I'm so glad that you're joining us today. As we look at the Monday broadcast, I always try to recap what happened at Hickory Ridge Community Church over the weekend. And we had a great weekend. We've been doing drive-in church. We've been doing live worship at 10:30. And as I do on most of the broadcasts, if we can help you in any way, please let us know. And if we can be a blessing to you, if you live in the Hampton Roads area, we'd be glad to help you out any way that we can. The church phone number is 757-421-7500. Well, we've been going through a great time in the book of James, and I've entitled this series of messages, Functional Wisdom in This Dysfunctional World. And you don't have to really be up to speed with everything that is happening in our world today to realize that things are going sideways. But I want you to know that as followers of Christ, we do not have the spirit of fear. We have the spirit of love and of a sound mind, and the good Lord is going to get us through this time. And so today, I think the study will be very helpful. This is actually part 9 of the study through the book of James. And every Monday, we've been going through this series on the book of James. We're up to chapter number 3 right now. And we're going to look at just a few of the verses in chapter number 3. But as I tell you, as you look at this book of James, it is a fascinating book. Verse number 18, chapter 3 in the Living Translation says this, "And these who are peacemakers, and those who are peacemakers, will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness." You know, every day that we live our lives, we are planting seeds in relationships. As we travel through life, the seeds that we plant will eventually grow and reproduce. I want to encourage you, because of this truth, to be in agreement with your spouse, to be in agreement with your church, to be in agreement with those who are close to you. You know, everybody has a circle of influence of at least 6 people. Now, I know you have way more friends than that and way more acquaintances than that, but everybody has an influence of at least 6 people. And when I say that, if you were to pass away right now, at least 6 people would be profoundly impacted by your death. So when we think about living wise, how do those that are closest to us view us as far as this matter of wisdom is? Somebody defined wisdom as taking the knowledge of God's word and applying it to daily life. Wisdom is not just making good decisions. Wisdom is living a lifestyle that is congruent with the word of God. It's not just a few smart decisions. It's not just applying occasionally biblical truth. It is consistently living out this way. David wrote this in Psalm 111, verse number 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." So that's where the definition of wisdom starts, with this reverence for God. And as you think about wisdom, Solomon asked this question. He says, "Who is wise and who is understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life." So wisdom is a lifestyle. It's not just a hit or miss type thing. It's an overall pattern of your life. When we think about the lack of wisdom is going to cause numerous problems in your life. James put it this way as we look at verse number 14, and this is the Phillips translation. He says, "If you don't have wisdom, you're going to have disharmony and all kind of evil in your life." So there's a downward domino effect of making dumb decisions. But there's also an upward and an edifying effect for making wise decisions. And so I want to talk to you today what James says about wisdom and how we can relate wisely to others. You know, sometimes when it comes to a subject and understanding a subject, sometimes it's easier to understand it by telling you what it is not. So let's talk about what wisdom is not. So if I'm wise, there's certain things that I will not do because I'm driven by wisdom. Here's the first thing that James talks about. If I'm wise, I'll not compromise my integrity. The wise, or the wisdom that comes from heaven, is first of all, there it is, pure. That means there's nothing that is in that is tainting that. You know, the man of integrity walks securely, but he who is not walking in integrity will take crooked paths, and they lead to paths that will cause nothing but trouble. So if you really want to be a wise person, you've got to be a person who is honorable, filled with integrity in all aspects of your life. Chuck Swindoll shares this illustration in his book, Growing Deeper into Christian Life. He says, several years ago in Long Beach, California, there was a man actually a couple that was going to go out and they were going to have a picnic dinner together. And so they stopped at a local restaurant and picked up some fried chicken. And as they were getting ready to leave, they grabbed their fried chicken dinners in a bag and they headed out to the local park. The young woman at the counter unfortunately had inadvertently placed all of the proceeds of that day into a bag of money and given it to this couple. Well, this couple, when they get out to their place where they're going to have this picnic, open up their bag that they thought was going to have chicken in it, and it was filled with much cash, over $800 of cash. Now, they had driven a couple hours from that restaurant, but they decided to take the money back and return it to the restaurant. As they brought the money back into the restaurant, the manager thanked them profusely and said, "Thank you so much for bringing back this deposit." He says, "In this day and age, it's hard to find people that are so filled with honor and so honest that they would turn around and bring back this money." The manager says, "You know what I'd like to do to thank you? I'd like to call the local newspaper. And I'd like to just do a report on what you have done so everyone can see there are some good people that are living in the world today." Well, the man says, well, to the manager says, "Man, would you please not do that?" And pulled her to the side and says, "Please don't contact the local newspaper or the local news media. I really don't want you to do that." And he leaned in closer to her and says, he said, "You see, the woman that I'm with right now, she's not my wife. She's somebody else's wife." So here we have a man who appeared to be filled with integrity, but there was definitely some chinks in his armor. And so, you know, you think about integrity. It's not just parts of my life are filled with integrity. You know, just this week, I heard about a man who lost his job over $2.50. That's right, $2.50. I'm not talking about $2,500. I'm talking about $2.50. He put it in his pocket, money that was paid for a product that was bought at the establishment that he works at, and he just slipped that money into his pocket, lost his job. You know, the manager said, "If I can't trust you with $2.50, how can I trust you with thousands of dollars?" You know, Jesus kind of said the same thing. If you're going to be faithful in little things, then you can be ruler over mighty things. But if you can't be faithful over small things, then God can't trust you with greater things. You know, you think about this opportunity that we have. God has given us so many opportunities to be filled with integrity. So today, if you're lacking wisdom, maybe the problem is not wisdom. Maybe the problem is that you're not living a life that is honoring to God. Well, here's the second thing that James points out. He says, if you're a wise person, you won't compromise your integrity. But number two, you won't antagonize others to anger or fear. Wisdom is peace-loving, says James. You know, Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 3 says, any fool can start arguments. It doesn't take much to start an argument, does it? Anybody can start an argument, but the wise thing is to stay out of them. Proverbs 20, verse number 3 in the New International Version says, it's a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. Proverbs 14 says that a wise man controls his temper. He knows that anger causes mistakes. So if you're a wise person, you're not going to be one who threatens people or antagonizes people or uses fear over people or anger over people. You know, maybe you have heard of the Stockholm Syndrome. The Stockholm Syndrome first occurred in 1973. There was an attempted bank robbery that took place in Stockholm, Sweden. A man tried to rob a bank, and the police caught him inside, and instead of being able to capture him, this man took three female hostages and one male hostage, and he held them for 131 hours, during which time he terrorized them. He fired his Russian automatic assault weapon at them. He threatened to kill them on numerous occasions. He even put a noose around their necks and threatened to hang them. But he didn't do any harm to them. He just constantly threatened them. When he finally surrendered, something very unusual happened. We expected that the hostages would be very antagonistic toward the hostage taker, but instead they said that they feared the police more than the hostage taker. They also said they didn't hate the hostage taker, and they refused to testify against him in court. One of the ladies actually became engaged to this hostage taker. You see, as they analyzed this case, they discovered that this man had used so much antagonism and threats of fear over them that they actually became endeared to him. You know, the opposite thing happens when we love somebody deeply. Love somebody deeply and they'll also be connected with you. I want to encourage you that if you're a wise person, that you're not going to be one that uses anger or fear over people. The third aspect of wisdom is that you won't minimize the feelings of others. The Bible tells us, James tells us, that wisdom is considerate, that is gentle, it is courteous. Proverbs 15 says that kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit. In other words, if somebody comes to you and they have a legitimate hurt, or even if they have a time of celebration, you know, the Bible is very clear. As followers of Christ, we rejoice with those who rejoice. We weep with those who weep. You see, ignoring a hurt will never bring about healing. You know, you've heard it said that time heals all wounds, but sometimes time will make an infection grow worse. You know, denying it and minimizing it and turning minor problems into major ones will never bring about change. Wounds get infected and they spread when they aren't dealt with. Look at what Psalm 39 says about trying to ignore pain. David said this, "When I was mute with silence, I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up." David says, when I minimized my feelings or I ignored my feelings, they didn't go away. When I ignored my hurt, it didn't go away. You know, a wise person realizes that everybody's having a hard time. Everybody's struggling through life. And so we don't want to minimize the feelings of others. We want to be sympathetic toward others. That's what a wise person does. Well, number four, a wise person is one who won't compromise integrity. A wise person is one who won't antagonize others through fear, through anger. A wise person will not minimize the feelings of others. And then number four, a wise person will not criticize others' decisions. You know, I've discovered something in life. It is much easier to be critical than it is to be correct. There was a young musician many years ago who was giving a performance. His performance, unfortunately, didn't go as well as he thought it would. The famous composer consoled him by patting him on the shoulder and said this, "Remember, son, there is no city in the world where they have a statue to a critic." You know, it's easier to bark out criticism than it is to produce results. Movers and shakers don't have time or energy to criticize. They are too occupied with pleasing God. James says, wisdom that comes from above is submissive, that is under the submissive power of the Spirit of God. It's also open to reason. That means it allows for discussion. It listens to what others suggest. Proverbs 12:15 says, "A fool thinks he needs no advice, but a wise man listens to others." Many years ago, a young man was complaining to his father that all the music at the church, you know, the hymns, they were really boring to him. Too far behind the times. They were tiresome tunes, and they had meaningless words. Well, his father put an end to his son's complaining by saying, "Well, son, if you think you can write better hymns, then why don't you go ahead and write some hymns?" Well, the boy went to his room and he wrote his first hymn. And here's the title of that first hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." That year was 1690. The teenager was Isaac Watts, who went on to write "Joy to the World," who went on to write 350 other hymns of the faith. You see, if you have something that gets under your skin, if you got something that is plucking your last nerve, has it ever occurred to you that maybe, just maybe, God is saying, "I'm placing this upon your heart so that you can be an agent of change"? You see, a wise person doesn't just see what's wrong. He finds a solution to the problem. Well, we've learned so much already today about wise people and how they don't respond. Wise people won't compromise their integrity. Wise people won't antagonize others through anger and fear. Wise people won't minimize the feelings of others. Wise people won't criticize others when they make suggestions or decisions. And number five, wise people don't emphasize others' mistakes. Now, we tend to emphasize the mistakes of others, and when we do, it's because we are most disappointed in our own shortcomings. If you find one who is constantly emphasizing the mistakes of others, I promise you they have some deep-rooted issues. A wise person does not emphasize the mistakes of others. And I'm not saying you ignore the mistakes of others. There is a biblical way to confront the offenses that come against us, to confront the shortcomings that come against us. The Bible is very clear in Galatians 6:1 that if you're a wise person, if you're a spiritually mature person, you're going to go to a person and confront them. You're not going to talk about them, you're going to talk to them. We tend to emphasize the mistakes of others when we are most disappointed in our own shortcomings. You see, wisdom is full of mercy, says James, and full of good fruit. Proverbs 17 says, love forgets mistakes, nagging about them, it will part the best of friends. In other words, if you are constantly complaining, you are constantly pretending that you got it together and your friends don't have it together, you're going to find that you don't have very many friends. Now, if you're old enough to remember the planters sang that song, The Great Pretenders, right? Now, if you're a person who constantly is criticizing and emphasizing the mistakes of others, what you're doing is you're pretending that you got it all together. You're pretending that you have no mistakes at all. Now, if you remember that song, here are the lyrics. Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Pretending I'm doing well. My need is such, I pretend too much. I'm lonely, but no one can tell. Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. I drift in a world of my own. I play the game, but to my real shame, you've left me to dream all alone. Too real is this feeling of make-believe. Too real when I feel what my heart can't conceal. Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Just laughing like a clown. I seem to be what I'm not, you see. I'm wearing my heart like a crown, pretending that you're not around. Yes, oh yes, I'm the great pretender. Now, as you listen to the words of that song, even if you aren't old enough to remember when the planters sang that song, it resonates with us with the fact that all of us have this tendency to pretend that we've got it together more than we really do. You see, none of us want others to think less of us, and so we tend to put on this facade. We tend to be somewhat hypocritical. Now, as I think about a wise person will come alongside and encourage somebody in their mistakes. You know, there's a difference between the way you can confront somebody just in the words that you use and confronting them. Instead of saying what should be, you can use the phrase of what could be. A simple change of one word. Well, here's the sixth thing about wisdom that James reminds us about. He says that wisdom won't compromise my integrity. Wisdom won't antagonize others' anger. Wisdom won't minimize the feelings of others. Wisdom won't criticize others' decisions. Wisdom won't emphasize others' mistakes. But lastly, number six, wisdom won't disguise my own weaknesses. You know, there's a bank in Virginia recently that dealt with a robber who did manage to make off with some cash, but who also experienced some issues with his disguise. You see, the problem was the fake beard that he is wearing, which was obviously fake, and it kept slipping off his face, making it slightly easier to see his face. The opening line of the report reads this: robbing a bank is hard enough without having to deal with a fake beard continuously falling off your face during a holdup. Now, we could modify that sentence slightly to apply to those who aren't robbing banks, but those who are living lives, and we could say living life is hard enough without having to deal with the fake stuff we put on to make ourselves look better. You see, our attempt to portray our lives as something that we're not is true for all of us. As you think about a wise person, wisdom, James says, is not impartial. Wisdom is sincere, meaning that we are straightforward and without hypocrisy. Proverbs 28:13 says, you know, you're never going to succeed in life until you don't hide your sins. In other words, when we become transparent, then we can begin to have success. In Colossians 2:3, it says, the secret is Christ himself. In him lie the hidden treasures that God has. In him lie the hidden treasures of wisdom. You see, a true Christian is one who is living a life of transparency, not disguising his own weaknesses, but confessing those weaknesses. As I think about those who are navigating through life and getting victory through life, I want to remind you of an opportunity that we have at Hickory Ridge Community Church. And on the Friday broadcast this week, you're going to hear about a ministry called Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate Recovery is based upon the principles of the Sermon on the Mount, and I want to encourage you to consider being part of Celebrate Recovery. We offer it at Hickory Ridge Community Church on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock. We would love to have you come by. You don't need to call. You just show up, and we are there just about every single Sunday night, and we have the opportunity to do an open worship segment, and then we break off into groups. But you know the most powerful thing about Celebrate Recovery? It's a Christ-centered ministry. When you think about wisdom, wisdom that is from above, from Christ, is pure and peaceable and lovely. And wisdom that comes from the bottom, right, from Satan, is wisdom that is not pure. It's sensual. It is fleshly driven. I want you to be filled with the wisdom of Christ in your life. I don't want you to waste any more time of your life worrying about not living up to the expectations that God has for you. I want to encourage you to be in God's Word. You know, the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. The Bible talks about the wisdom that we have as we follow the path of God's will for our lives. As we think about this whole matter about wisdom, you can be filled with wisdom. It's more than just the knowledge of God. It's understanding that God has a purpose for your life, and as you fulfill that purpose, you are filled with wisdom. You know, one of the aspects about being a wise person is also that you are a person that is interested in leading others to the saving knowledge of Christ. The Bible says, he who wins souls is wise. Now, that means that if you're a soul winner and you're sharing the gospel with somebody, you get a benefit. That benefit is that you are filled with wisdom. Yeah, I think about people that are lacking wisdom. If you're lacking wisdom, James tells us that we should ask of God. God will give it to us, and God gives it to us generously. He gives it to us with much liberality. You see, when it comes to the matter of giving, God is not stingy. As a matter of fact, the most famous verse in the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave. He gave the very best gift he could. He gave himself. That's how much God loved the world. When it comes to this matter of wisdom, God is not stingy. God will give to you generously. But when you ask for wisdom, you got to ask in faith. Nothing wavering. You know, James uses that analogy of a ship driving through a storm. And as that ship is navigating through that storm, it's up and down and all over the place. If you're asking for wisdom and you're up and down and all over the place, you're not going to receive wisdom because the Bible says that you're double-minded, unstable in all of your ways. James says that man shall not receive anything from the Lord. In other words, you're going to get wisdom, but you're not going to get God's wisdom. You're going to get the world's wisdom. Oh, I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, be men and women who are in the Word of God, in the book. Be a soul winner. Be one who is transparent in your life. You know, everybody knows the weaknesses that we have. We try to hide them, and people are like, why are you hiding that? I know you got these weaknesses. Every one of us have weaknesses. That's why the church is so important. The church is to encourage one another daily. The church is to be helping those with weaknesses. You know, if you have a strength, I have weakness, we can help one another. That's what the church is all about. Well, I want to encourage you today, as we look at where to find wisdom, that wisdom is available. Wisdom is given to you generously by God himself. So be one who is searching for God's wisdom, and he will give it to you. Well, thank you so much for listening to the broadcast today. As we think about the future, God has a lot of things in store for you. And I want to remind you that if you need a place to worship, we would love to have you come and worship with us. We're at the Hickory Ridge Community Church. Our address is 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South in Chesapeake, Virginia. And as we look at gathering to worship, we'd love to have you come join us at 9 o'clock for drive-in service or at 10:30 for our inside worship. We'll make you feel right at home. I hope you come and join us. Well, I want to close our broadcast today with a word of prayer. And I am leading our congregation right now through 5 different intentional ways of praying, a simple way using your hand. And I'll give you the first one today. and that we take our thumb is closest to our heart. So pray for those who are closest to your heart today. Lord, I pray for those who are closest to my heart today. That would be my family, my wife and my kids, my close friends and brothers and sisters in Christ at the church. Lord, I pray for them. I pray they'd be close to you. I pray that it'd be filled with your wisdom. I pray that you protect them, keep them safe today. I pray for those that I love, and I pray that you give them a glorious day today. And then I pray for those who are listening to this broadcast. Maybe they need some wisdom. Maybe they need some inspiration today. I pray that they will seek diligently your face and ask in faith, nothing wavering, and you will indeed give them the wisdom that they ask for. We pray this all in the name of our dear Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.